Thanks for coming in today, Lori.
Well, thanks for inviting me, and thanks for doing this for the Fun Drive. It's been great listening to it.
It's been pretty fun, huh?
Very fun.
I like all of the different variety of stuff. We've had everything from, I can't even think of the wide range of
Lawrence
things we have
Welk.
Listened to. Yes, we had Lawrence Welk. We went from Lawrence Welk, and we had Woodstock, and we've had Barbara Streisand, and we had Janet Jackson today. And,
right, Pink Floyd.
Pink Floyd earlier.
Led Zeppelin.
Yeah.
Quite an array.
Yeah, it's been fun.
It really has.
And people that you would not imagine going to certain concerts.
Yes.
Have gone to certain concerts, and it's been fun.
Well, I love the Woodstock story because I had never met anyone who'd gone to Woodstock knowingly.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Judy Carston, so it's like, woohoo.
Now you know.
Yeah.
And Judy told me there were a few other people here in town that went to Woodstock, but don't ask me who. I can't remember now.
So what
are we going to talk about with you? When did you first start going to concerts?
Well, I was very fortunate. I grew up in California, in Sacramento, and which was like the middle of everything. So
sure.
Lots of groups traveling through. And in listening to all these stories, I was thinking, you know, my parents never took me to any concerts. I can't imagine going to any with them. But then I thought, you know what? I kind of did in that my dad worked for the state. So we were in L.A. when I was real little. And then we moved to Sacramento. But we used to go to Disneyland a lot.
Oh, yeah. So, and Anaheim.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I did see groups at Disneyland. My mom, actually, we went to see Duke Ellington play in the New Orleans Square where the Haunted Mansion is.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they had ringers. They had these people in there dancing with the regular folk that were professional dancers. And with Duke Ellington on the piano and those people dancing, it was pretty cool.
I bet. I bet.
Yeah. So, and they used to get some, well, pop big names. We saw Pat Boone there and Bread and Don and the, what is it? Tony Orlando and Don.
Oh, yeah. Tony Orlando. Knock three times.
Exactly. That's what he played. I know. It's hysterical on this stage in Futureland or Tomorrowland that would come up, you know.
Oh, I remember that stage. Yes. It rises out of.
Ooh. Yeah. So as a teen, you know, that was pretty cool. So I feel pretty lucky that we got to do that. And then older, in Sacramento, my first concert was Dan Hicks and his Hot Licks. And I'm going to say he was there with Tower Power, which now seems like a interesting mix, but I'm pretty sure that's who was there, and that was it. If Billy Heckler's listening, the Memorial Auditorium, he often brings up stuff about Sacra Tomato, he calls it. And but we had a lot of concerts at the Memorial Auditorium, and that's where we graduated. It's still there, pretty cool old building in the middle of town. So that was the first official concert that I saw. So I thought I'd start off with some Dan Hicks and his Hot Licks. Unfortunately, we lost him this last year.
Yeah.
But this is Scare Myself.
Here we go.
I scare myself just thinking about you. I scare myself when I'm without you. I scare myself the moment that you're gone. I scare myself when I let my thoughts run. And when they're running,
run.
I keep thinking of you. You. When they're running,
run.
What can I? And I don't mean lightly. I scare myself. It can get frightening. I scare myself to think what I could do. I scare myself. It's some kind of voodoo. And with that voodoo,
run.
I keep thinking of you. You. With that voodoo,
run.
What can I? So different when we're together. And I'm also so much calmer. I feel better. For the stars have crossed.
scare myself. I do that all the time.
So that was Dan
Hicks
and
Hot Licks.
Hot Licks. I was going to say that wrong. So
no, nope, that's all right. They were awesome. They were, you know, the big beehive dudes, almost like B2 or
U2?
Love Shack people.
Oh yeah.
I can't think of it. But anyway,
yeah.
But this whole vibe. It was a really good show. So that was at the Memorial Auditorium when I was probably a sophomore, maybe a junior in high school.
Cool.
So the 70s in California, lots of music. I can't even remember. I mean, so lucky. Went to so many concerts. And I could afford to, because when I was in high school, my last semester, they did vocational training.
Mm-hmm.
So free of charge, at no cost to me. I had taken all the classes I needed, I guess. I can't even really remember. But I could have been a horse shoer. There was all these choices.
Wow.
But then you had to work with frozen dead horse legs.
Otherwise,
to learn how to do it. And I couldn't do it. So I instead, I picked telephone information operator.
Oh, really?
So literally. So I love vocational training.
Yeah.
I mean, it's huge. They need more of that. My last semester of high school, I literally drove to the city college and took a class on how to be an information operator, which in those days there was no computers. So we had like a gel on our fingers and you'd flip through the pages. And so that was kind of fun. And I got hired. I graduated Friday and went to work for the phone company on Monday.
Wow.
Yeah. So
that's pretty amazing.
Yay, vocational training. So everybody goes, you could be retired now if I would have stayed. But
we all have stories like that. Though. Oh, yeah, you could be retired. Yeah, well, rub it in. Thank you. I had
a lot more fun.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. But I did work for 2 years for the phone company, and it was a fun job. Split shifts, just zip in and look up numbers and zip out. Very odd, interesting job. But after 2 years, I decided I wanted to travel. But during that 2 years, I was the one with the car and money.
So
in the group.
You got to do the concerts.
Yep. So I was always driving, and we did a lot of concerts. So that was very fun. In those days, Jackson Browne, Linda Ronstadt, Jimmy Buffett, the Eagles, Bonnie Raitt.
Oh, yeah.
Just to name
great
a few.
Music.
Great music. Yep. Indoor concerts, outdoor concerts. Just the whole gamut. So it was really fun. And to have the money to be able to do that.
Yeah, really.
And then the Bay Area. Mm-hmm. Cheryl Nugent was saying she saw Elton John.
Yes.
And she described exactly what I saw, but in a different location. The opening song was Funeral for a Friend.
Mm-hmm.
I saw him at the Cow Palace.
Really?
And so that was very cool. And they had the dry ice, you know, smoke and just that intro. She played it, which was very cool, but just that long instrumental intro where you're sitting going, oh, wow, and waiting for something to happen. Then they come out on stage, and he did at least 3 costume changes. That was in the big shoe era.
Yeah, really big shoes.
So, yeah, he put on an excellent show, but in the Cow Palace, which is huge in San Francisco. So that was a wonderful show, I kind of remember, mainly that first song. And Linda Ronstadt, one of my all-time favorites. They did a lot of outdoor concerts, one at Hughes Stadium. At Sachs was City College. They did a lot with Jimmy Buffett, the Eagles. And so it was pretty small setting and pretty cool. So I have one from Linda Ronstadt. And what's the official name of the song? I always say, There You Go or Here I Go. But the name of the song is It Doesn't Matter Anymore.
So I could sit and cry. Golly gee, what have you done to me? Well, I guess it doesn't matter anymore. Do you remember, baby, last September how you
wasted.
now and forever till the end of time, and I'll find somebody new, baby. We'll say we're through, and you won't matter anymore.
You won't matter anymore.
No, you won't matter anymore.
You won't matter anymore.
You won't matter anymore.
Sing along now. Linda Ronstadt.
That's for in the car alone. Yeah, yep. With it cranked up, all yep. that.
Next time you see Lori at a stop sign singing at the top of her lungs, you'll know she's singing to Linda Ronstadt.
Yeah, if I could just sound that good.
Yeah, if any of us could.
But yeah, quite a talent it is. I mean, we were all getting older. She was dating George, not George Brown. The governor.
Jerry Brown.
Jerry Brown. Jerry yeah, Brown. Yeah, that was the big thing. And mm-hmm. Yep. So they were.
That was back in the 70s. She yeah. was dating him, right?
Yep.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe okay. early 80s. And but she would travel with Jackson Brown and the mm-hmm. Eagles and Bonnie Raitt. They were like this group. I think they were all Tucson, you know, Arizona peoples. Yeah. But so we were on their route. And it's interesting hearing all these people from the Midwest that saw him too. It's like, what? It was
they
not
played
just California.
Too. No, it wasn't just California.
They went everywhere. Yeah.
It's amazing.
I know. They were all over the place.
They got on a bus and went all the way to Minnesota.
I know. Isn't that something? So I feel lucky that I didn't have to drive way away to right. to see them. The big trip would be to the San Francisco area, which was an hour, yeah. you know, and that was fun. But, and then Mike was talking about Jackson Brown and the nuclear power mm-hmm. protests and all mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. So I remember that very well, Bonnie Raitt, Jackson Brown, and you know, we all thought this is it in the 70s, you know, they're just setting us up for destruction. It's all going to be over. And Jackson Brown sang a lot about that. And here we are. I mean, luckily,
yeah,
it wasn't as bad as
years
they,
later. Plus.
Yeah. Yeah. So things are still going on. But in the 70s, it seemed so immediate that things were going to happen soon. And Jackson Brown was one of my all time favorites. I saw him numerous times as he went through California. I saw him I had come up here. In, what, 77, I came up here. So it might have been 78 or 79. I went down south and did a road trip with my folks to L.A. from Sacramento mm-hmm. to visit friends and relatives. And my cousin and I went to a concert on New Year's Eve at the L.A. Forum, which is huge.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah, it's this big indoor. They have the Oscars, whatever. It's huge.
Oh, that big. Okay.
Yeah, big venue. And Bonnie Raitt, Jackson Brown, and I have never had such a lonely, depressing
what?
New Year's Eve, 10,000 people around us, and we didn't know anybody.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was just really odd, especially after just being here and discovering how awesome Kodiak was mm-hmm. and Alaska and how close everybody was. The music was great, but it was such an isolating feeling.
I bet.
And I was trying to explain to my cousin who was from L.A., and she didn't understand at all what I was saying. But she actually ended up in Wyoming, so she caught
on. She gets it now.
Yeah, she gets it now. So, but that was interesting. But so I want to play, though, from the 70s era, from When It's All Gonna End, a Jackson song, Jackson Brown song, I'm getting all nervous, The Deluge, Before the Deluge.
Oh, okay, good.
Some of them were dreamers, some of them were fools, who were making plans and thinking of the future. With the energy of the innocent, they were gathering the tools they would need to make their journey back to nature. While the sand slipped through the opening and their hands reached for the golden ring, with their hearts they turned to each other's hearts.
Some of them do pleasure, some of them do pain, and for some of them it is only the moment that matters. And on the brave and crazy wings of youth, they went flying around in the rain, and their feathers once so fine grew torn and tattered. Exchange love's bright and fragile glow for the glitter and the rouge. And in a moment they were swept before the deluge. Now let the music keep our spirits high. Let the buildings keep our children proud. Let the music keep our spirits high. Let the buildings keep our children dry. Let creation reveal its secrets by and by.
Doing in here?
What the heck?
Who let the dog in?
You said you liked Jackson Brown, but you keep talking, and you're gonna bum me out.
Okay. So.
Yeah.
I went to the Rocky Flats shows. You know, they came all the time to Rocky Flats to do the
anti, you know, that's where they were.
The protest stuff.
Together, yeah, it was all kinds of voodoo stuff going on.
Was that in Colorado, Rocky
Flats?
Yeah,
between Boulder and Golden.
Oh,
on that road.
I've got a Red Rock story.
You do?
Yeah.
Red Rock stories are always great. Did you actually go?
Yeah.
Who'd you see?
Leon Russell.
Ooh.
I know.
Nice. And we're not playing any? Was it a nice, beautiful, incredible Colorado night?
Oh, it was. Full moon. Full coming moon. Up behind him. Only.
Every time I saw James Taylor there, that's what happened.
Gorgeous.
Full moon. It was just, like, really? How
could
this possibly
happen?
They
probably planned it. Huh. But yeah, beautiful amphitheater. Beautiful, beautiful. And then a friend that I'd met, because I moved to Breckenridge, or I moved to Fort, where was I? I was in Loveland. Yeah. Worked 2 years at the phone company.
I think many of us were in Loveland.
I was often in Loveland.
I remember you used to send your Valentine's Day stuff to Loveland so they could get postmarked.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Like the North Pole? Oh, how funny. Yeah.
Was this when you were a kid in Chicago, you sent stuff to Loveland? No.
No, I was living in Colorado. Oh, okay. I was living in Georgetown, on the other side of the divide from you Breckenridge types.
Breckenridge was, oh, my gosh. Well, but I'm jumping ahead here,
it was fairly notorious back when you were there,
it
probably.
It was a blast,
are you
going to
tell us those stories on the air?
I can't remember most of them.
Yeah.
I learned how to ski.
Conveniently, she says.
Yeah. And I was only 20, and I was a cocktail waitress briefly, but I wasn't old enough, so I ended up just waitressing. Worked at the ski resort, but it was a drought year, so they didn't open, so I had to go to a restaurant and be a waitress.
I almost got killed there one time.
In Breckenridge?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
I was skiing by myself underneath a lift and went up in the air and took a lift thing wrong, and I wound up doing a face plant in about 4 feet of powder, and my tips buried.
I couldn't get out.
I was like laying straight down in the snow trying to swim myself out of this deal, and my tips were stuck in this wet powder. I'm thinking, really, do I want to go like this?
Did you live?
I didn't live. That was life number four. All right, well, what's your Red Rock story?
Well, when I was living in Breckenridge, I met this kid.
This kid? Define it.
We were all kids up there.
Oh, yeah.
He was from Flagstaff. That's what made me, we were talking about
Flagstaff. It was a male kid.
Male kid, Tim. Yeah. Tim, we wrote back and forth for years, but he was really a nice guy. And so, of course, I didn't date him or anything.
we were just friends.
He was too nice.
I'm much too nice for you.
I know. I only like the really good guys that treat me like, you know. But we went to Red Rocks and went to the concert. And then we were there like the next day just goofing around because nobody was there. Mm-hmm. And met a couple. And we ended up, I kept in touch with them forever, too. It was just, stuff just happened when you were young. You meet people and you do fun stuff. And you know, but that was then. But the concert at Red Rocks was Leon Russell. I can't remember who was with them, but they opened the show. And remember, Masquerade was a George Benson song.
Mm-hmm.
So when
Leon did Masquerade,
he wrote it.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, that's what I said. Huh. But he came out on stage, beautiful night, moon rising, Baby Grand, and just him, and played Masquerade. And it was beautiful. And, he wrote it. Who knew?
It was I know that Leon song, and I really like it better than the George. I mean, the George is really kind of poppy jazz, you know? Mm-hmm. And Leon, with the voice that he had singing that song, that was great, man. If we could find that.
Got it right here.
You do?
I do? Well, yeah.
Oh, is this part of the show?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know. I thought we just, you know.
It all just
never mind.
Falls together.
I'll go back in the other room.
See
again.
How it works like that?
It's just magic.
It is. Well, but I had seen him before, so in my timeline, I'm jumping ahead because I saw him in California also at a Day on the Green. I think Terry Haynes. It's like, Terry, I might have seen you somehow at some of these concerts because he was in the Bay Area. I was in Sacramento, and we went to the Oakland Coliseum a lot for Days on the Green, where he sat in the sun and, you know, just baked in more ways than one and watch these great shows. And I know I saw many there, but the one I remember the most is Leon Russell. And in his backup singers was Mary McCrary.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Who became his wife. I don't know if they still are, but just incredible music. So I have that one too. But so that was a few years before the
Red Rock story.
Mm-hmm. Cool. I always like that drive down from the mountains, you know, just as you come down out of Evergreen and you hit that big hairpin turn when you're going down the deal and you see the moon coming up over the top of Denver. It's beautiful.
It is pretty. Oh, and like I was saying, I lived in Breckenridge for a while, and actually that was fun in that Jimmy, the guy who was the lead singer for Mr. Bojangles,
Nitty Gritty Dirt Band.
Oh. Mm-hmm. He took a hiatus for a few years, and it was when I was in Colorado, and he had his own band, and they played at a little local bar, Seamus O'Toole's in Breckenridge.
Seamus O'Toole's.
Yeah, they sang my 21st birthday, happy birthday song
Whoa.
To me.
Nice. That's memorable for a while.
I'd been in that bar quite often before then. So it's like, shh, it's
before
not my
21st. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm 22.
She's 21 again.
But that was fun, having them as the local band, you know, in the 70s there, and meeting them, very nice group of guys. And so that was really fun, and being a ski bum for a winter up there. Yeah, that was a wonderful experience. Beautiful. And then actually I came here from there, and some guys that lived up there flew here like that next year, and I saw them, ran into them at Tony's. They're like, yeah, we're trying to set up a network to get fresh seafood to take back to Breckenridge.
Hmm. So like, wow, I was just seafood there. Runner?
Well, I met them, but we had mutual friends, but I didn't know them, and I wasn't their seafood connection. Hmm. I just saw them at Tony's. Today I was just in Breckenridge. Yeah, I know that gal that you guys know.
Hmm.
So small world.
Very right. small world.
Yeah, I don't know whatever happened with that. I don't think I ever heard anything more about it, or if it worked, or
it was hard to do, you know.
Yeah. And that
a lot
was
of people ran into the logistics problem flying it in there, getting it in.
Especially
fresh,
back then,
know?
Yeah.
So they had their own plane, anyway. But yeah, small world. Lots of young people traveling back then.
Isn't that like a Disney thing? Didn't you
yeah,
do
I
some
believe
sort of
it
Disney
is.
Thing?
Yeah, I was saying I saw kinds mm-hmm. of people at Disneyland. Oh, my Steve Martin story.
Oh,
yeah.
You didn't tell us that.
In Disneyland. I just love Disneyland. When I was a kid, I went there with my folks, and we went to the Golden Horseshoe Review, which was in Western Town. Whatever.
Yeah, something. Mm-hmm.
And they did a old Western show with Slewfoot Sally or whatever was the barmaid, and they did this whole, you'd have lunch, you know, your little sandwich, and sit in the bar, and they'd do a show. Well, the traveling salesman in the plaid suit for that show was exceptional.
Hmm.
The show was just amazing. Everybody, you know, hadn't laughed so hard ever. It was the best show I'd ever seen, and that was in 70-something, and we left, and probably not even a year later, we see this guy on TV with an arrow through his head doing a comedy routine with a banjo.
Yeah.
Like, hey, that's the traveling salesman.
1974, I got tickets for John Prine and John Hartford in Fort Collins. And there's an opening act dude who never heard of before. You know, a guy comes out in a white suit with a stool, sits down on the thing with a banjo, and then starts putting arrows in his head.
Who
and
knew?
It was like, and he was not a great banjo player. I mean, compared to John Hartford, you know, he was pretty darn good, but he was really entertaining. And that's the first time I ever heard of Steve Martin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then when John Prine sort of couldn't really perform very well, John Hartford and Steve Martin came out and sort of saved him and played with him. It was great.
Awesome. Yeah, it was amazing to see him, but he stood out. I mean, it's neat how performers like that, before they're anybody, you
in
know.
In Disneyland, yeah, really. That's really wacky.
Oh, he was funny. He was, well, it was basically the same routine. He moved into, you know, good old clean humor.
Yep.
For most of it. But yeah, that was fun. I know Disneyland was my favorite place, but I took, you know, James when he was, what, 5, and all we did was wait in line. So it
seems
was
like that's all
Disneyland.
You do anymore.
Yeah.
Unless you go on a rainy day or you got one of those speed tickets.
Right, right.
Get you to the front of the line.
Yeah.
But then you still wait, you know.
Yeah.
It's best to go like in some off month, whatever
really?
Month that
I don't
is.
Even know if they, yeah, I don't think they have them anymore. But it was really a fun place growing up, you know, definitely.
Oh, you were right by there.
Yeah, when I was real little, yeah.
See, I remember going to Knott's Berry Farm.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a place to go now, I hear, because they don't
really?
Have quite as bad lines. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think
so. Coming back up. Didn't Knott's Berry Farm have the train thing that you went on and rode around in a train?
Probably.
I remember. Okay.
You know, there were rides.
Yeah, I think they all have trains.
Just going around the farm. I don't know.
Well, and Disneyland has that,
ago.
Too. Yeah, where you take the train, it takes you.
Right, the monorail, though.
No, there's a train, too.
There's a train?
They have it all.
Mm.
Yep. I know, my
I remember
senior
the hippos.
Class.
I remember, like,
that was fun.
I remember riding Dumbo. That was cool.
Yeah.
I am not going to comment.
It's like that sled, that dog sled joke, though. You don't want to, if you're following, I'll just see it. You have the same view.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, right.
The same thing.
rainbow went up and down.
So it's a pledge drive.
Yes, it is, again. Isn't it amazing how it happens twice a year?
Oh, yeah, it's been a good one. Like I say, it's been really enjoyable listening to all these stories and, like I say, connecting with some of them. I bet you Terry Haynes and I crossed paths, you know, amongst those thousands of people at those Bay Area concerts.
You wouldn't know. Yeah. I mean, I went to a show with Ken Reinke in the 70s.
Had no idea.
Isn't that something?
Really. I knew that guy was, like, being rude in front of me, but I had no idea.
I bet it was the other way around. Yeah. What do you think?
Yeah, it's a small world, I tell you.
It is. So what did, okay, now I've forgotten what we last played. Was it Bronsted?
No, we played Jackson Brown before
Jackson
the deluge.
Jackson Brown, that's right.
Yep, because he was, because I didn't know Mike was into Jackson Brown and that whole protest
that's
era
also. That's my feminine
also.
Side, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm so biting my tongue.
You're biting your little tongue right there.
Me too. Your progressive side. The
That's it.
Hey, Jackson Brown could rock, man.
Oh, my gosh,
I mean,
he's great.
David Lindley was usually his lead guitar player, and he could just
and
smoke
violin.
That thing. Yeah.
Oops, yeah. Get in touch with Felipe, I'm sorry.
Plus, I like lyrics, you know, and the difference between Jackson Brown and between what popular music was. And, you know, he actually had a song that meant something.
Yes. True. So. Yeah. And Cat Stevens was right in there, too, but I never saw him in concert, but he was one of my favorites that was singing my life, too, you know, so I could relate to all that in the 70s.
Weren't you like a Joni Mitchell fan?
I like Joni Mitchell, but not so much. Actually, I heard her here, or people that were into her here more than down south. I once had a guy in Colorado that I dated quote me some lyrics, and he knew Joni Mitchell lyrics. I was like, well, who's that?
Really? I figure every California person would have, like, go back home on the way home and sing, California, I'm coming home.
I did later. Yeah, yeah. Just was late on that one. But...
That was a nice rendition, Mike.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Very nice.
This is from my Joni Mitchell days.
Can you do O Canada?
I probably had like the first 7 or 8 albums of hers in my collection. So yeah. You know,
yeah.
I think everybody did.
Yeah, no, she's good. Very, very good. But some people I didn't listen to until later.
Oh, we were going into Leon. Learn. That's what we were. Oh,
yeah,
no,
we
skipped ahead to that or something.
Well, there was two Leons. I was going to play an old one from the Oakland Coliseum era. With Mary McCrary and that. Tightrope was big then. And then the Red Rock Story was later, and that would have been This Masquerade.
Well,
so we could play those
probably
both.
Probably let you get on to
sure.
it.
Sure.
If you like.
We've got plenty of time.
If you like Leon Russell, call in. If you like this eclectic music you hear. And nobody, this isn't even mentioning all, I mean, for decades, the KMXT concerts. Bill Staines, way back when at East.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Bo Diddley. Yep. I think that was a KMXT. That was, you know, way, way back.
Actually, I think one of our guests tomorrow is going to talk about the Bo Diddley concert.
That was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, so, right here in Kodiak. So we've had a lot of great musicians here, too.
Two.
Also.
We have.
Okay, so here is Tightrope with Leon Russell.
I'm up on a tight wire. One side's ice and one is fire. It's a circus game with you and me. I'm up on a tightrope. One side's hate and one is hope. But the top hat on my head is all you see. And the wire seems to be the only place for me. A comedy of errors and I'm falling. Like a rubberneck giraffe, you look into my past. Well, maybe you're just too blind to see. I'm up in the spotlight. Oh, does it feel right? Well, the altitude seems to get to me. I'm up on a tight wire, flanked by life and the funeral pyre, putting on a show for you to see. My past,
Well, maybe you're just too blind to see. I'm up in the spotlight. Oh, does it feel right? Well, the altitude really gets to me. I'm up on a tight white, flanked by life and the funeral pyre. But I ain't gonna show you to see. Are we really happy with this lonely game we play? Looking for words to say. Searching but not finding understanding anyway. We're lost. In this masquerade, both afraid to say we're just too far away from being close together from the start. We're trying to talk. Lost inside this lonely game we play. Thoughts of leaving disappear every time I see your eyes. No matter how hard I try to understand the reason that we carry on this way. We're lost in a masquerade. Start over, but it's
funny. Lori and I are both reaching for it. Whoops. We'll just pot that down.
There we go. Okay.
All right. We're both reaching for the mic. Pots.
Oh, good. It's potted down. Okay.
So it is potted down. You can do whatever you like.
Yeah, memory lane. No, it is interesting. And I, like I say, fortunate to grow up in California, fortunate to spend time in Colorado.
Yeah, you guys had great exposure to concerts. It was wonderful.
Yeah.
I had exposures to cow barns and fields.
Where did you grow up?
Minnesota.
Minnesota. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, there were concerts there, but nothing like what you guys had around you in Colorado and California. It's pretty cool.
Right. And I mean, the pros and cons of living in a urban area, you know, suburb of Sacramento, which having visited it recently, I do not miss living there. And my girlfriends, you know, still have posts that they're going to these concerts and stuff, but that's okay.
I'd much rather take Kodiak.
Yes, yes. And like we were talking about, a lot of good music comes here. The Arts Council brings some incredible talent, and KMXT has brought tons. Very, very lucky. But yeah, I heard some great road trip stories from everyone, you know, in the 70s. Fortunate to be a kid in the 70s. I took road trips too. Like I say, we didn't have to go that far. A big trip was a friend had a pop-up van, and we went to that one of the Oakland Days on the Green on a hot, you know, Saturday afternoon. And we ended up going to San Francisco that night. We thought, yeah, we'll spend the weekend in San Francisco and, you know, grody, and spent the night parked by the Gillidary Square down below. There's a parking lot at the bottom of this park, and you're right on the water, and there's the rowing club is right there by the kind of the end of the Embarcadero. Beautiful. So we parked there and spent the night. Woke up at 6 a.m. to thousands of people. It was a staging area for some marathon or something that we were in the midst of. And
how long were you stuck there in the middle of
that? Yeah, well, at least a few hours, but luckily it was okay. And then that morning we thought we'd often go to the Fairmont Hotel when we were in San Francisco because you could go in the hotel there, and they had a beautiful glass elevator that came down the outside.
Okay.
So that was the big tourist thing to do. So this was that weekend, and we were pretty grody. So Sunday morning, after we got out of that parking lot, we went to the Fairmont, went up through the hotel, through the restaurant, because that's how you got to the elevator. And there was Carl Malden and his wife having brunch.
Wow.
I always felt bad because here we are, you know, in our jeans and pretty grody and cruising through. And that was when Streets of San Francisco was popular. Yep. So it's like, oh my gosh, Carl Malden. And we got on the elevator and wrote it down. Ooh and ah at the view. And they probably wondered what the heck they're letting those kids come through.
Oh, well.
You know. But it was fun. You could do it for free. So it was fun. So many, many concerts. So this is just touching on a few. So the last song I want to play, and I appreciate everybody listening, and a public radio. Who else could, you know, it just didn't
really
walk in.
You don't get to
in.
Do this kind of stuff on lots of, anywhere really. I mean, public radio is pretty amazing.
It is, definitely, and I appreciate it. And if anyone has any interest in learning about radio, come on in. You have an unusual opportunity here at KMXT. So I've gotten to see Jackson Browne over the decades. When I was down south recently in Washington, I saw him at the Mount Baker Theater, which I think Lori Madsen mentioned, or someone else mentioned.
Somebody
shows
did.
There.
Yeah.
Beautiful venue, small theater. And he did an acoustic show there. That was like in 2004. And then I got to see him when I was in California taking care of my dad in 2012, another acoustic show with my old girlfriends that we went to these shows
to the original
when we were in high school.
Cool.
Yeah, so that was kind of fun to go with them. But this song is from that newer group of music. It's called The Long Way Around.
Everything I did was trying to be free. Running up and down Tinseltown with the fire inside of me. My planet's all in retrograde. The best of all my plans got laid. I made my breaks, some mistakes. Just not the ones people think I made. I'm a long way gone down this wild road I'm on. It's gonna take me where I'm bound, but it's the long track of what's gone wrong. The covenant unravels and the news just rolls along. I can feel my memory letting go some two or three disasters ago. It's hard to say which did more ill, Citizens United or the Gulf War spill. I'm a long way gone down this wild.
Jackson Browne.
The Long Way Around, one of his new songs. Very similar to some of his older things, but with a little bit of updated lyrics.
But had kind of the old Jackson Browne feel
to it.
The old
vibe, yeah.
It was nice. That was nice. I was telling Lori that Jackson Browne had this sort of pop-y era that I just kind of quit listening to him. But I obviously need to pick it up and listen to him again.
Yeah.
His newer stuff is nice.
I know. I have to admit, too. And I get discouraged because they play Running on Empty, which is a great album, but they play that all the time. And he's got so much other great music.
Yeah. I'll have to just explore a bit more with Jackson Browne. That's cool. So you have been listening to KMXT Kodiak, 100.1 FM and HD. And we're streaming live on the web at KMXT.org. Now we're legal. And you've also been listening to Lori Seeby share some of her concert stories from ranging from California in the Disneyland days when you were a youngster all the way up to Colorado and more California and back to Jackson Browne here, which was really nice.
Yep, new acoustic. Got to see him twice in the 2000s doing acoustic shows. He's, you know, doing great. And he was in California on that last one. He and his new girlfriend were lobbying Governor Browne, so he was there. You know, he's still got his foot in it and keeps busy and great
politically
music.
Active.
Yeah, lots going on. But thank you for letting me come in and yak away. And I'm really glad I ended up in Kodiak.
And so are we.
Thank you. But and the music here is amazing. We have our local groups, Twang, such great talent, such a great station. It really, really can't say enough about KMXT. Like you've said, many people, it's the best they've heard. They listen online.
I
agree. It's a unique, wonderful station.
And you know what? I just remembered you had a concert you were going to mention specifically for Jay. Remember?
Oh, that's right. Jay mentioned, I don't know if he had seen Peter Frampton or he just likes Peter Frampton.
I don't remember.
But he mentioned Peter Frampton, and I happened to see him actually twice in 76 when he was on the Flying High from his live album. It had been released. I saw him in California. Might have been in Oakland. Huge concert, doing his live thing. And then I moved to Colorado that summer, saw the same concert again with a different opening act. I remember it was Fleetwood Mac in Colorado, and I cannot remember who it was in California.
In Oakland?
Yeah. Great concert. And so was following Peter Frampton around, so that was kind of fun.
That is kind of cool. And to have Fleetwood Mac as an opening act.
I know. Can you imagine?
Yeah. That must have been an awesome concert.
It was. Mile High.
Mile High concert.
In Denver, Colorado. It was pretty fun.